Good morning. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We decided kind of last minute to take up an offering to kind of go back to the old way of doing things with letting the kids go down to church. But mostly somebody sent me a note this week, and I won't say who, but they said, are we ever going to go back to taking up an offering? I keep forgetting to give my offering. From now on, instead of, you don't need to rush up and put it in the box or anything or look for the box out back, we're kind of going to go back to the old way of doing things. Hebrews chapter 11, if you've got it, would you stand with me as we read from God's word this morning? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You must believe that he is. He is. God is who he is. And his nature never changes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you believe he is? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we come, we pray that you just fill this place with your anointing, with your presence, God. God, that everyone here, everyone listening at home, Lord, would receive a revelation of who you are. That we would understand who the God in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who you really are, Lord. Lord, we praise you for all the ways you have revealed your nature and your character to us, Lord. Lord, reveal a deeper revelation of who you are this morning, God. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin this morning talking about the story of Hagar. Title of my message is Who He Is, Who God Is. But I want to start with the story of Hagar. Hagar, of course, was the handmaiden of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. She was an Egyptian, and she was essentially a slave. Now, different translations use different words. Some say a handmaiden, some say a servant. But at the end of the day, she had to do what Sarah told her to do. She was a slave. Now, the Hebrew word for servant or handmaiden here is, that's used to describe Hagar, gives us a picture of someone who was close to the family. She lived in the house. This was somebody that was relied upon. They were an important part of the home. But at the end of the day, again, she was a slave to a master. Now, for those of you who know the story, Hagar was put into a difficult position by her master, Sarah. Sarah and her husband, Abraham, could not conceive children. Sarah was barren. And though the Lord had promised to Sarah that she would have a child, how many of you remember, she laughed. And she didn't believe it. She didn't really believe it down in her heart with faith that God could give her a child at such an advanced age. So Sarah got the less than bright idea for Abraham to sleep with Hagar. And through this young girl, through her slave, she would give Abraham a son. And so Abraham sleeps with this young woman, probably about a quarter of his age. And she is soon with child. And if you don't know the rest of the story, I'm sure you can imagine how this goes. It doesn't go well. But imagine how Hagar must have felt. She was a slave. She was forced to sleep with this old man who was her master's husband. When she realized she was pregnant, her response, as you can imagine, wasn't the best. The Bible puts it as she looked with contempt on her mistress. I'm sure she thought something along the lines of, "Ha, you old hag. You couldn't even give your husband a son, but I can." Bearing children was a very big deal in ancient times. In many ways, a woman's worth was tied up in her ability to give her husband sons. That way, the family line could continue. This was a plan that Sarah came up with, but it backfired on her big time. Now, if you can imagine, poor Abraham, Sarah goes, it's her plan, she's dreamed the whole thing up, and she goes to Abraham and says, "This is all your fault."
Always is.
And Abraham's like, Abram says to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." I don't know what else he was going to do at that point. The Bible says then Sarah began to deal harshly with Hagar. So harshly that Hagar runs away. And I'm not sure which one of us could blame her. She's put in a terrible position. She does what she was commanded to do, and then she's dealt harshly with because of her obedience. But it's out here in the wilderness on this journey where she encounters the angel of the Lord. Hagar and Ishmael, her son, I think are often two of the most looked down upon people in the Bible. But what we forget about Hagar is Hagar knew the Lord. Hagar lived in Abraham's house. She knew the God of Abraham. She saw the angel of the Lord with her own eyes. How many of us can say that? She ran from Sarah's harsh persecution. She stops at a spring, and the Bible says the angel of the Lord finds her there. He calls her by name and says, "Hagar, where are you coming from? Where is it that you're going?" The angel of the Lord has a conversation with her, and he says, "To go back and submit to her master Sarah." And the Lord instructs her. He says, "I've seen everything that's going on. But I want you to go back, and when you have your child and you bear this son to Abraham, I want you to call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction." Now, Ishmael means the Lord hears. So Hagar responds by saying that the Lord is the God that sees, because he has seen her affliction. And she says, "Truly, I have seen he who looks after me." In other words, I've seen the one who sees me. And so the Lord hears and the Lord sees. Those are the names that are given to the Lord. It's who the Lord revealed himself to be to Hagar. He says, "I'm the God that sees you. And name your son Ishmael, the Lord hears, because I've heard your afflictions. I've heard your cries." So she goes back home and submits to Sarah in this incredibly difficult situation. Isaac, the son of promise, was born to Sarah and Abraham, and at that point, Sarah didn't want Ishmael around anymore. So she goes to Abraham and says, "Listen, send this woman and her child away. She laughed at me," or he laughed at, I guess it was Ishmael, laughed at Isaac. And Abraham's distraught because this is his son. This is Ishmael, his son that he loves. The Lord speaks to Abraham and he says to do what Sarah asks him to do. Now it may seem cruel, but remember, God is the God who sees and God is the God who hears. And he says to Abraham, "Listen, I'm going to take care of them. So go ahead and send them away." So the Bible says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. Hagar wept because she was in despair. She despaired because she forgot who God was, the God that sees and the God that hears. She forgot that the name of her son means God hears. She forgot that God saw her so many years before when she had run away, and he knew exactly where she was and what she was going through. God hears, God sees, and that is exactly what he did. He heard the voice of the boy crying. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord spoke to her and said, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy. Like Hagar, how many of us forget who he is? How many times in life do we despair? How many times are we fearful in life? Because we've forgotten who the Lord is. He is. God is who he is. His nature never changes. Hebrews 11:6 again, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is." You must believe that he is in faith. You cannot come to God without believing he is in faith, that he exists. The world says that God is a myth. I tell you there is a God. The world says that God is dead. I tell you he is alive. If you're going to believe anything else about who he is, you must first believe that he is, he exists. He is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. Amen? So let's talk about who he is. In Exodus 3, God revealed his sacred name to Moses. Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am Yahweh has sent me to you." In Hebrew, I am is pronounced as Yahweh. And he exists as the eternal one, the all-powerful one. Yahweh, again, is what is known as the sacred name of God. And Yahweh comes from the melding of three Hebrew verbs, which show the tense of was, is, and will be. And so all three of those, he was, he is, and he will be, are wrapped together in the name Yahweh, I am. I exist eternally. And so it speaks to the fact that God's nature will not, cannot change. He was, he is, and will be just as he always has been. The writer of Hebrews says of Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. It's one of the most important aspects of the nature of God that you need to understand. Jesus is who he is. He has always been who he is, and he will always be who he is forever and ever and ever. The name Yahweh uniquely speaks to the fact that God exists and that he is the eternal one who reigns over everything. He is the all-powerful one, and without him, nothing could exist. The eternal nature of God means he is above all else. He does not need the sun to warm him. He does not need the earth to grow food to feed him. He does not grow old, and he does not have a beginning or an end, because even time is subject to him, for he created time. Since all things were created by him, everything is dependent upon him. He is not dependent upon anything or anyone. He loves us. He seeks our companionship. But I got news for you this morning. I may burst your bubble. God does not need you for anything. Right. He wants a relationship with us. He loves us. But he's not dependent upon us for anything. We need him. Amen. This is why he is the beginning and the end, the foundation, the head of all things. He simply spoke and created the universe. He forms the shape of a man in the dirt and breathes the breath of life into him. He speaks and stars ignite at his command. He instructs the celestial bodies to move through the heavens in their courses, and they obey. It is he who directs the events of history, and all things work together for those that love God. Why? Because he's in control. His power and reign over all are complete and never in doubt. Angels and demons bow before him, and men can't even stand in his presence. God said to Moses, I am. He is Yahweh, the one who forever exists in his own power. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Greek word that is translated as forever, it means immutable or unchangeable. It's interesting that it also means of the same opinion. How many of you understand that God is always of the same opinion? His opinion never changes. What this means is not only that God does not change in his power, his authority, or his existence, but again, his opinion never changes. Many today teach that God has evolved, or that somehow he's a different God than he was in the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament God, he was really mean and killed lots of people and did terrible things. And the God of the New Testament, he's a nice Jesus. He's loving. And he's only loving. Say that God has caught up with the times and man's enlightened way of thinking. They say what was once important to him is no longer important to him. Modern progressive teaching on the nature and character of God is much different than what God says about himself, let me tell you. You see, the God of the Old Testament, he was a loving, gracious, and merciful God. And the God of the New Testament is the one that's coming on the clouds with fire and a sword. He's the same God, Old Testament and New Testament. Nothing's changed. And his opinion about sin is still the same. If God once called something sin, let me tell you what, folks, he still calls it sin today. Amen? So make no mistake about what is sin. He is, and he is as he has always been. He does not change, nor is he ever diminished. The God that spoke the heavens into existence and created life can still speak a word and ignite stars today. He can still breathe life into the dead and they come alive. The God that made the sun and moon stand still can still do it today. The one who cast out a legion of demons can still do it today. He can still set men free today and break every chain of hell. Amen. The one who fed the 5,000 with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread can still provide for you and I today. The one who opened blind eyes, caused deaf ears to hear, made the lame to walk can still do it this very moment. The one who changed lives in the past can still do it today. The one who sent revivals and changed nations can still do it today. He is. He is the eternal God of all power. And so when storms arise and the rain falls, when the wind threatens you, when the lightning strikes and the thunder rolls, there is a place that you can run to for shelter and safety. Go to the rock, to the sanctuary, who is a strong tower. Let him hide you in the cleft of the rock. When trouble comes upon you and you have need, go to Yahweh Jireh, your provider. Stand on the rock of Christ. When death and sickness fall upon you or the one that you love, go to the resurrection and the life. Go to the one who has defeated hell and the grave. Go to the first begotten of those raised from the dead. Go to the healer, the great physician. Go to the Lord, our banner, our miracle. When spiritually you're dying or starving, run to the bread of life. Drink the cup of living waters. Go to the true vine. When you're depressed, hurting, and lonely, go to the Comforter, our hope. Let the light of the world shine into that depression and darkness. When you struggle with sin, anybody ever struggle with sin? You don't have to raise your hand or stand up or anything. When you struggle with sin, know that there's one that sanctifies you, one who makes you holy. He's the advocate, the intercessor who stands before the Father on our behalf. He's the propitiation for our sin. When you're lonely, know that there's one who sticks closer than a brother, a friend that loves at all times, and is strength to the needy and poor. So how do we know who the Lord is? How do we know he's all these things to us? You might ask the question, why does he have so many names? Anybody ever see that in the Bible? Like, God's got a lot of names. Lord has so many names because his character, his nature is so great. He is so many things to us. And in Hebrew, names describe the one that bears the name. How many of you remember that Hagar, she knew the Lord as the God that sees? And Ishmael meant that God hears. And I've done it before, but I'll give you a quick lesson in Hebrew to demonstrate this. The Hebrew word for father is Av. It's the most basic word for father in Hebrew. And it's spelt with the letter Aleph and the letter Beit. And ancient Hebrew was a pictographic language. They would draw pictures for different letters. And it had a phonetic sound. It could be a number, but it carried with it a concept. And so Aleph is pictured by an ox head, and just literally imagine an A and turn it upside down, and you got the head of the ox and its horns and everything. It's where we get our A from. But it carried with it the concept of strength. Av again, spelt with an Aleph and a Beit, A and B. Beit is pictured by a house. And so in the spelling of father, the Hebrew word for father, Av, we have the concepts of strength and home. And so the father is to be what? The strength of the home. In Hebrew, mother is spelt M, and it's spelt with an Aleph and a Mem. Again, Aleph was what? Strength. But Mem is water. And so what do we have? We have strong water, or as I've heard it put, glue. And so the father might be the strength of the house, but the mother's the one that holds everything together. Amen. And nothing could be truer. Amen? But this is why God has given so many names. Each one reveals a portion of his character, and through these names we understand who God is and what he is like. And so men and women in the Bible, as God would reveal, that he would give a revelation of who he was, what he was like, what his nature is, what his character is like, what his attributes are like, they would give the Lord names. Again, Hagar, she said, "You're the God that sees me. The Lord hears." When Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah, you may remember the story. God had said to him, "Take your son to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him." And Abraham had said to Isaac, when Isaac asked where the sacrifice was, he said, "Listen, God's going to provide." He didn't know how. But as Isaac laid there on the altar, God provided a ram that saved the son of Abraham. And in that moment, Abraham knew the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Because he provided the sacrifice. And what a picture it is for us of Jesus that would come and take our place at the cross. So how do we know who the Lord is? You must believe that he is. As you walk with the Lord, you will experience a revelation of his nature in your life. When you come to salvation, you experience the Lord as Savior, as Deliverer, as the Lamb of God who takes away your sins, your righteous covering. Growing up, we lived on faith a lot when money was tight. Anybody ever live by faith? You don't know where supper is coming from. You don't know how you're going to pay the light bill, the car payment. Each night, my mother would tell us where every bit of food on the table would come from. We couldn't take a bite without a speech. And she would say, "I had coupons, and they were having triple coupon deals. And so I got these cans of corn for like 3 cents a can. And this person came and brought us this, and I got this from free." And don't ever forget that God provided for us. Sometimes God sends provision down out of the heavens like manna. Sometimes God provides, and it's not exactly what we're looking for. Sometimes God says, hey, I got a job for you. But God provides. And he watches over us. He's the saving one. We've seen the Lord deliver drug addicts, alcoholics, vile sinners, even redeem murderers. He's the one who changes lives and he breaks the chains of sin. He is the Redeemer. He is the Deliverer. Every time you read a new name of the Lord in the Bible, that means that God revealed himself to a man or woman in that manner. He displayed his character, his nature to them, and they recorded it for us. So this is what I want you to remember today. Every name of God that we read in the Bible, each and every way these men and women experienced his divine nature is as true for us as it was for them. If he can redeem one, he can redeem all. If he can send revival in days gone by, he most assuredly can do it again. If he healed the blind, the lame, raised men from the dead once, he can do it again, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is my encouragement to you today. It's a simple message. Don't despair. Don't fear. Don't forget who God is. Don't be like Hagar, who lost sight of who the God of heaven is. Have faith in the great I am. Said it's a simple message today, and it is. I'm going to begin to close already this morning. As we do, I'm going to tell you who God is, and I want to ask you to stand with me and just bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. And allow the Lord, come on, go ahead and stand up, close your eyes, bow your heads, allow God to speak to you as I tell you who he is. And however you need to know God today, let the Spirit of God speak to you. Let him reveal who he is to you today. It might be, God, I'm not even sure you're there. Let me know that you're really there. Reveal yourself to me. It might be, God, I'm struggling with sin. Reveal yourself to me as the one who washes me clean, as my righteousness, as my covering, as my sanctifier, as the one who makes me holy. It might be, God, I'm facing this terrible financial burden. God, I need to know you as provider. It might be that you're sick today. I need to know you as the great physician. Reveal yourself to me, God. So as I proclaim who God is this morning, just allow whatever it is, however it is that you need to know the Lord speak to you. Who is he? He is I am. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He is Adonai, Lord and Master. He is Elohim, God. He is El Gabor, the Mighty One. He is the Judge of all men. He is El Elyon, the Most High, the Most High God. He is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. He is El Olam, the Everlasting God, the God of Eternity, the God of the Universe. He is the Ancient of Days. He's Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of Powers, the Lord of Hosts, the God of Angel Armies. He is Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the King of Nations. He is exalted, and he is crowned with many crowns, and he is the one who reigns on high. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the true God, the living God, the creator, the maker of heaven and earth, the foundation, the head of all things. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, who was, who is, and is to come. He is holy, the Holy One of Israel. He is light, he is mighty, he is exalted, he is I am. He is life, the first fruits of those raised from the dead. He is your rock, the cornerstone, the strong tower. Do you need help this morning? He is salvation. He is the deliverer. He is the comforter. He is Yahweh Yireh, my provider. Do you need a miracle this morning? He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord that heals. He's your physician, your healer, your resting place. He is Yahweh Nisi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle. He is Kwanah. He is the jealous God who is jealous over you and me. Feeling conviction and guilt, confess and repent of your sin, because he is Yahweh Im Kadosh, your sanctifier, the one who makes us holy, our righteousness, though he is the one that washes away all our sin. Are you fearful of what's happening in the world today, or even just in your life? He's Yahweh Shalom, the Lord your peace. He is your shield, your strength, your strong tower and fortress. He is the rock that is higher than I, the rock of our refuge. He is a brother born for adversity, the friend that loveth at all times. He is a stone of grace, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is our sanctuary. He is strength to the poor and needy in distress. Are you spiritually thirsty and hungry this morning? Do you need shelter and a place to run to? He is the bread of God, the bread of life, our meat and drink. He's a shadow from the heat, a refuge from the storm. He is as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He is a hiding place from the wind and the tempest. Do you need hope today? Do you need hope today? He is your hope, the strength of the children of Israel. He's a prophet, mighty in word and deed. He's the light of the world. He is righteous. He is truth. He is grace. He is love. He is mercy. He is patient. He is just. He is perfect. He is spotless. He is faithful. He's the accused of God on our behalf. He is a star, a scepter out of Israel. He's the light of the morning when the sun rises. He is a morning without clouds. He is the daysman. He is fairer than the children of men. He's the man of sorrows, rejected, stricken, smitten, wounded, bruised, and oppressed for us. He's beautiful. He is the man of sorrows. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He is as a cluster of henna blooms, a bundle of myrrh. He is the chiefest among 10,000. His countenance as is Lebanon. He's altogether lovely. He is radiant. He is our husband. He is your beloved. He is Yeshua, salvation personified. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is meek and lowly. He is betrayed, mocked, and crucified. He is the horn of our salvation, the dayspring from on high. He is scourged. He wears a crown of thorns. He is the very image of God. He is the offering, the sacrifice. He is a servant that humbled himself unto death. He is the corn of wheat that fell to the ground to die that we might live. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the resurrection and the life. Somebody lift up a mighty shout to God, for he is all that we will ever need him to be. He's the way maker, the promise keeper, our light in the darkness. No, Lord, we worship you this morning.